Hey everyone, welcome to episode 32 of Student Radio Stories. This episode includes an interview with Adam Waterman. Adam is a producer for Absolute Radio. In this episode, we talk about Adam's experience of being a producer, his time in student radio, and the advice he would give on being a producer and getting into the radio industry. Let's get into the interview and hear more from Adam about his radio journey. So I'm here with Adam Waterman. So Adam, what is your current role now in the radio industry?
So I am a producer at Absolute Radio. So I produce our drive time show presented by Bush and Ritchie, which is weekdays, which is called Home Time with Bush and Ritchie, weekdays 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. So that goes across Absolute Radio and all our decade stations. And then I also produce Jason Manford on Sunday mornings, his breakfast show. And I look after our freelancers. So we've got a bunch of shows on the weekend, from Frank Skinner to Rock and Roll Football to The Request Show. So I manage all the freelancers and train and develop them up. So we often look for younger talent to come on board and get to learn on the job, shall we say. So that's what I do here. And I've been here for 7 years now.
So what do you enjoy about being a producer at Bauer?
Being a producer is so different to what people think it is. So everything you hear and see, which is presented by the presenters, has had to come from somewhere. And it's definitely a team effort here. But what I love about being a producer at Bauer and in commercial radio is the vast landscape of things we have to do. So we're a commercial station, which means we rely heavily on S&P. So being a producer, you have to be super creative at Bauer. You have to create ideas that aren't really coming from anywhere else, that haven't been done before, that will give a client a unique spin that will bring money to your show. So what I love about Bauer is, and especially Absolute Radio, is the leash is less tight on us over here. We can go and do crazy things. So last year we did a national fish and chip shop tour with Bush and Ritchie, where we went around the UK and we went to find the best fish and chip shop. And that was sponsored through a company called Molden Salt, who sells sea salt. And that was just something that you wouldn't be able to do anywhere else. So being a producer at Bauer is really, really exciting at the moment, especially in the landscape we're in with coronavirus and stuff like that. You have to be really creative and you have to be a bit inventive with your content. And also the people are lovely. I've got the best presenters in the world. They make coming into work every day fun. And that's what radio is. It's fun. It's not rocket science.
So what made you want to be a producer in the first place?
I hate my voice, so it's a good job that I'm doing a podcast. I've never been confident enough to be a presenter. I'm not funny enough. I'm not charismatic enough. But what I do is I love radio. And I love the fact that you can have an idea in 5 minutes and get it on air straight away. Where if you're working in TV, you have got to put in weeks and weeks and months of preparation and planning. Where with radio, if you're a great audio producer, you could have a brilliant idea and the next day it'll be on air and it'll be a feature. Or you could work and nurture that talent and get them to be a presenter within weeks or months, where with TV, you've got a long slog with that kind of stuff. You really have to put a lot of effort in for something that might not come off. Where being a producer, you do varied things. So Absolute Radio, I look after our events for the show. I look after our talent for the show. I look after all the on-air side, look after the social media for the show. So you've really got a massive pool of jobs you can dip into and out of being a producer. When the other route into radio, if you want to be on air, would be to be a presenter. And that just wasn't for me.
So, I mean, you've touched on what you're already involved with, but is there anything else that you do at Absolute Radio or anything you're in charge of?
So I started off at Absolute Radio on reception. So it used to be a thing. We were brought by Bauer around 6 years ago. I started 7 years ago. So Absolute Radio, you used to come through work experience. You would normally be a runner or get on reception, and then you would work your way up in the company until you found the job that was suited for you or until you got the job that you wanted to do. Not always the case, obviously. They didn't just give you a job. You had to work hard at it. But I've done everything at Absolute Radio, so except from web development, which I cannot do. So I've been part of the social team here at Absolute Radio. I used to run Absolute Radio 60s, so schedule the music for Absolute Radio 60s and all the programming for that. I used to head up all our events. So like Radio 1's Live Lounge, we used to have Zoo Sessions here before lockdown, where bands would come in and promo their singles and their albums. So I used to run all those. And then with a lady called Lisa Bailey, who is our event manager, used to do all our external events as well. So Absolute Radio is notoriously well known for our gigs and events that we do. So we've done Coldplay at the Palladium, we've done Catfish and the Bottlemen, we've done Stereophonics, we've done Biffy Clyro in Parliament. So we put on a gig with Biffy Clyro in the Houses of Parliament, which was special. Elbow. So, and then we do loads of events. So we've done Latitude, Isle of Wight Festival, which is our festival that they do every year. And then I've worked at Planet Rock and Kerrang while I've been here and helped out Kiss FM a little bit. So yeah, it's being at BAO is a strange one, because although you work for a brand, they give you so much access to everything else. So if you want to go and work in events as well, you can do that. So at Absolute Radio, we're now currently looking at what events we can put on bespoke for our shows. So yeah, they're the kind of things you can get involved in here.
So what advice would you give to those interested in being a producer?
Is that in terms of how to be a producer or how to get your foot in the door?
Oh, a bit of both. Yeah, it'd be nice to hear your point of view on both.
Okay, so being a producer is not being a yes man. Everyone is different. So every presenter you're going to produce has got different character traits. Not everyone's the same. Never treat everyone the same. Some presenters might need an arm around them. Some presenters might need free rein. Some presenters might like to just read scripts and not have to think about what to say. Everyone's different. So being a producer, you have to be really adaptive to your climate. So I've worked across loads of shows with loads of different skills that's needed, and I've had to learn on the job, and I've not always got it right. Often than not, I've got it wrong quite a lot of the time. It's part of the learning curve. But being a producer, how to get your foot in the door and how to learn that craft is by making those mistakes and then not making them again. So I remember my very first radio show on Absolute Radio, they gave me to do it on my own, which was Rock and Roll Football with OJ Borge. About 4 years ago, I was cocksure of myself that I knew what I was doing, and I did know what I was doing, but I think the pressure gets to you. So I took the station off air twice in the first 20 minutes of that show, just because I wasn't monitoring the desk the right way. So the thing about being a producer is don't panic when you're in front of that desk as well. So if I could say, be a producer, know your talent, treat every talent differently, do not be overconfident. And if anything is wrong in the studio, it's probably the most obvious thing right in front of your eyes, and that is something's wrong with the desk. You've not put the right fader up, you're monitoring off the wrong frequency, it'll be something like that. And to get to be a producer, I would say network as much as you can. So go to things like the Student Radio Awards and Student Radio Conference. Email people. I think the art of emailing is dying a little bit. So we get emails through to our reception inbox going, hi, could you pass my email on to the program director, or could you pass my email on to the head of music? Everyone's got Google on their phone. Google who that is and email them directly. It looks like you're doing half the work if you are sending us a covering letter looking for work experience, but you've put heart at the top of it. I really love heart, or I really love capital, but you sent it to the Absolute Radio team. No, you don't. You just want a job in radio. Always, always, always look what you send, and send it to the right people. Don't send it to a generic mailbox. Send it to the people who matter. And we've all been in that situation. We've all had to work to get where we are. So we all have sympathy for people. So if you really want to work in music and you really love what Kiss FM do, contact someone who works in the Kiss FM music team, because they'll always talk to you. They'll always help you out.
So how would you say you got into being a producer? Because I suppose it's different to a presenter, where you make demos to help get yourself into the industry.
Yeah, so I got to be a producer through networking, and I knew I wanted to be a producer. I was presenting on my student radio station Spark FM in Sunderland, and I always knew that I wanted to be a producer more than a presenter. And I went to some radio academy talks in the Northeast. So they did a masterclass on how to be a producer, and I asked a question going, hey, I really want to be a producer, but I've got a book of ideas of features and fun talk topics and stuff like that, but I don't want to give them away because I don't want someone else to snatch them and have them. And I can't remember who it was, but one of the guys on the panel said, if you're a great producer, you'll have loads of great ideas. So if you've got a brilliant idea now, give it to someone and they'll go and make it. And that's what I did. I gave a couple of ideas to Jeff Lloyd on the Hometime show on Absolute Radio about 10 years ago. And he used them on air. And then I was on work experience at Absolute Radio. And that's how I got into it. It's all about being in the right place at the right time. And it's a little bit about luck. I was lucky that Jeff even read my email. I was lucky that I got accepted for Absolute Radio work experience. I don't think you necessarily need to go to university to be in the radio industry. You just have to have ideas and contacts and stick at it. Lots of people give up. You're not going to go work at Radio 1 straight out of university. And if you do, congratulations, you're one in a million there. And also, I'd say there's more radio stations than you think. Go and learn your craft, go and learn your trade. Everyone wants to go work at Radio 1. Well, they certainly did when I was at uni. No one even mentioned Bauer where I work. It was either Radio 1 or Capital. That's the two stations because they're youth orientated, they're fun, they're creative, but there are so many radio stations out there at the moment. Not enough jobs with community stations and local stations getting closed down and everything getting networked. Certainly not enough jobs, but there are other stations out there than Radio 1. So don't be too picky either, I'd say. Go and learn your craft somewhere.
So what previous experience have you had of working in the radio industry before you worked at Bauer?
I'll talk about student radio in a bit, but the thing that we had to do when we left uni, so I graduated in 2010, the thing we had to do was go and do lots of work experience and lots of free work experience at that. And when I say free work experience, I mean free work experience at a lot of massive companies now that would be shamed in saying that you had to do free work experience. But I did lots of interning as well. So I was Six Music Steve Lamacq's intern for 3 months, which was great. So I worked with the Six Music team. It gave me an insight into how the BBC ran and what kind of restrictions you could do, what you could get away with, what you could say, and how a massive corporation operated. Then I worked at something else as a freelancer. So I did the Economist podcast with them and picked up some other jobs there. I worked at Wise Butter as an intern in their talent management jobs. And then I had to take a break from radio because there wasn't anything around. The recession was just ending. So the economy was just kicking in. There was no money in radio. Gone were the days where they would fly you to Los Angeles to do an outside broadcast for a new film that's coming out. Gone were the days where they would take 20, 30 people to a festival. It's now just a team of five. Those things weren't happening anymore. So I had to then go and work in retail and become a store manager of a glamorous shop called Pound World. And I had to do that for a little while to pay the bills. And then a reception job came up at Absolute Radio. And like, no one wants to be a receptionist if they want to get into radio and be a producer. But I knew Absolute Radio. I knew everyone there. I kept in contact with the program directors and the teams at Absolute Radio, just through my work experience and through my freelancing at their festivals. And I just kept up regular emails, like every 3 months, just checking in what was happening around in and around the station. And the reception job came up and I took that. So that's my radio journey. A lot of interning and a lot of paying £400-£500 a month for trains, paying for London food, which is like £10 for lunch, and then going to the pub after and buying a beer, which isn't cheap, just to network. It's horrible. And I'm glad the industry is slowly changing where you have to know your worth. And I don't know many places that ask work experience to come in for free. They would at least pay your expenses, which would be your food and your travel. But yeah, don't do it for free, guys. That's all I'd say.
So what made you want to get involved with your university student radio station?
So I picked radio and TV to do as a subject because I didn't want to do a real subject. Face it, I could have done history or English. So I chose to do radio, and I remember looking at different radio stations, and I picked Sunderland University because they just built brand new studios, or were in the middle of building brand new studios, and they won a 24/7 community license. So where lots of student radio stations would only be live for 6 weeks a year, Ofcom had granted Spark FM a community radio station for my second year at uni, which meant the first year at uni I would be building that station. So there was a bunch of us some of them you might have spoken to. We built Spark FM up from scratch. And my first job there was not only getting on board with the technical side of it, but was being a head of music. So my job in my student radio station was to contact record labels would contact us, and playlist music for them. And because we were a community station up in Spark FM, we had to have a remit of 50% local music as well, which was more exciting. It meant I could go to gigs and stuff. So in my student radio, I was deputy content director, head of music, and then content director. And it was those exciting things that made me want to get involved in radio. The fact of knowing that you could go and have fun, no one was judging you. You could go and mess around in the studio with your mates and play some good music. Literally, you were getting 60 listeners on the internet. I don't know how many people are listening on FM because we didn't have radio. We were a small community station. But student radio just sounded like so much fun. And it sounded like a little club you could be in. Other clubs were like rugby clubs or football clubs were wanting money off you to join the society. The student radio club was just you guys. It was just a group of misfits having fun. And there were people who would be on your courses who would turn out to be lifelong friends. So I work with some of them now, actually, at Bauer. We've all got jobs. So I've worked with people who work across Magic. And there's a couple of people who work across KISS who I went to university with or was in the student radio world with. So that was the exciting thing. You could go and create fun elements of radio and no one would block you. Imagine that power at uni, going on air and saying and doing whatever you want. Obviously not being mean about it in good spirit, but and a lecturer just going, that was great, well done. Is a really bad link, but well done. You've gone and made something that no one else has made. That was the fun bit about student radio.
Yeah, I've heard lots of great things about your sort of student community radio at Spark Sunderland, because recently there's been the Bedtime Babylon with Kai and Hayden, and that seems to have gone really well as a late night radio show.
Oh, great. I'm going back up there soon. Hopefully we're going to do some masterclasses. I've not actually listened to the station for a long time. What's that show about?
Well, it's like a late night radio show and you can call in. I called in the other night and you could just talk about anything you want with them. So yeah, I suppose it's nice if you're feeling lonely, especially at the moment, obviously being in the sort of lockdown period.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so the good thing about student radio is you do get a remit. If you're a full-time community station like Spark was, there are some restrictions you have to do. So you have to play 50% local music. You might have to, depending on the station, you might have to do 30% speech output, 60% talk. The great thing about Spark is, other than the music, there's nothing else put in your place. So when I was program director, I launched folk radio shows. I presented it very, very badly. As you can see, I'm stumbling through my podcast. I'm not a presenter. I did a remix show called Control Alt Delete, which is possibly the worst name for a radio show ever, where we just played remixes of artists that we found on the internet, and they were often not by proper DJs. They were just people mixing them in their bedrooms. We did a show called Golden Oldies that focused on just 80s music. Thinking back, none of this makes sense. If you want to keep listeners, guys, this schedule doesn't make sense, but we would start off on a Sunday morning with a show called Golden Oldies where they'd just play songs from the 60s, 70s and 80s. Then we'd move into a dance rave song. It was awful programming, and that's why I'm just a producer at the minute and not a programmer. But that's the fun thing about student radio. You could switch on student radio and you could stumble across a brilliant, brilliant show that isn't created. So when I was at the studio radio conference last year, someone did a demo all about space and about NASA. And that was their radio show talking about science. Now, I don't know where you're going to hear that show ever if it's not on student radio. Maybe on BBC Sounds as a podcast, but you're certainly not going to hear it on Radio 4. So it's really interesting things you can do in area. And that's what made me want to get into it. The fact that if you have an idea, I'm just looking what's in front of me. There's a paper cup here. If you have an idea about a paper cup and you think you can get 3 hours out of radio out of it, go and do it. And that's the kind of stuff we also do on home time, which our boss is not happy about. But yeah, student radio is brilliant for being creative. When you get into the real world and you get into commercial radio or BBC, you realize your hands are tied and you've only got 1 minute to do that link, or you've got 30 seconds to say that, or you've got to flog yourself for a live read because Halifax or Nationwide or Lloyd's TSB has spent loads of money with you and you need to read out their messaging. A student radio, you'd have to do that. You might have to advertise John's Pizzas down the road or Bill's Cabs, but other than that, you get free reign.
So what have been some of your highlights from your time in student radio?
So getting in the jobs, I'd say was a highlight. No one ever wants to get picked last. So becoming head of music, deputy program controller, and then program controller for Spark was great. And then I made a documentary in my third year called A Decent Man, which I listened back to about 6 months ago, and it is not good. But I won an award for that for Radio 4. Radio 4 gave me the opportunity to go and do work experience with them. I couldn't take it up at the time because I was doing Six Music, and that also got nominated for a student radio award. So that was great. And my highlights to student radio is mainly the fun I had with the people. Going to the SRA conference is a blast. It is a little bit expensive, but it's the most fun you'll ever have with your mates. And meeting people and networking with them and meeting your people who would be your peers later on. So Jordan North on Radio One, I used to go to uni with him, and seeing how I gave Jordan his first show on Community Station on Spark. I'm not saying I made Jordan North, but I definitely will say that to his face when I next see him. Giving people like that the opportunity and going, mate, that didn't sound good, or that was great, do more of that. And then seeing them become massive, massive presenters. And I firmly think that Jordan North will one day be the face of Radio One. It might be 10 years' time, but Jordan North is a brilliant broadcaster. So that's a highlight from student radio, seeing other people around me succeed.
How have you been involved with the Student Radio Association during your time in student radio?
So I never had any jobs with the student radio. So I know lots of people are on the board or the exec. I know you had Naomi on here a couple of weeks ago, who's done a brilliant job with the Student Radio Association. I was getting more involved in student radio in terms of going to the conferences, going to the awards, and now I'm getting more involved in setting up some, now we're in lockdown, trying to set up some virtual master classes with them through Bauer. So when the Black Lives Matters movement really kicked off a couple of months ago through the tragic death of George Floyd, a bunch of us at Bauer said that enough's enough and we need to start offering our services for a more diverse and more inclusive radio society. So we're going to slowly progress that with the Student Radio Association. So I haven't worked with them too much, but hopefully more in the future.
So, what advice would you give to those currently in student radio?
Oh, I've got lots on this. This could be a long answer. I've got so much wrong, so I'm going to tell you what I've got wrong and what not to do. I'm going to start off with presenting. So if you're in student radio and you want to be a presenter, don't nick people's ideas. I hear it so often. I've heard it so many times at Demo Factor. I've heard it so many times at Student Radio Awards and when I've been judging them. Don't nick people's ideas and pass them off as your own. You do get found out. And if you're that good of a presenter or a producer, you will have more ideas than you think you do. Try them. You've got the perfect platform on student radio to get all your mistakes out of the way and to learn your craft. And don't be scared to try new things and fail. I don't know I've ever done a feature on Home Time or Jason the first time around, and it's been an absolute triumph. I think we've always had to do it 3 or 4 times. I think we've always had to plug away at something and go, is this working? Do the audience get it? But what people might do and what people do, and I've heard it a lot and I've seen it a lot, is hear Greg James do a link and then they go and do the exact same link. And I'll go back to, I was in a student radio conference, might have been 2011, and Tiny Temper had a song out, and Chris Moore's made a joke about the song where Tiny Temper leaves a pregnant pause at the start of the song, and then he makes a joke going, Tiny, you still there? And then Tiny Temper kicks in with the rest of the song. I was in a car with a bunch of people driving back from the student radio conference. A couple of them were presenters on the student radio station, and the next day, I heard one of the people I was in the car with make the exact same joke as Chris Moyles did, but not deliver it anywhere near as good as Chris Moyles. People get found out, and that person has not become a presenter, even though they really wanted to, because they didn't work hard enough at it. And you're only going to become a presenter if you work really, really hard at it. There's no one in their job at the moment that I could name that doesn't deserve to be there. That's for presenters. That's the advice I'd give. For everyone else who wants to be in radio in the future after student radio, just work really hard at it. Don't kick yourself too much if you don't get a job straight out of uni. I didn't get a job for 3 years. I was interning, I got paid on a freelance basis, but it's such a struggle. You have to network. So just keep in contact with people. Take people's mobile numbers down, take people's emails down, don't harass them. But checking every 2 or 3 months going, I'll just use Paul Sylvester as an example from Absolute Radio. I would, in festival season, always email Paul going, hey, Paul, have you got any freelance positions available for Hyde Park or Hard Rock Calling or Hyde Park gigs, Isle of Wight gigs? And he'd probably go back to me, no, but he would always remember you. And the next time something come up, he would email you. So network like hell. And what I would say is, if any radio company is offering you work experience or an internship and it's not paid, or it's not at least with expenses, and it's a minimum of 2 weeks with expenses, sorry, maximum of 2 weeks with expenses, take it, but don't do anything for free. These companies earn a lot of money. They make a lot of money. Don't do anything for free, and call them out if they are. Don't have to call them out publicly, but just email the exec producer or email the director or the CEO if you need to, and go, look, I love radio. I know my worth. I can edit audio. I can do Photoshop. You're asking me to come and do these things, but you're not even picking up my train expenses or my meal expenses. I know your worth in radio. It's a small industry and there's a lot of people in it, but don't be the person who gets the job by undercutting everyone else, because you're doing yourself a disservice.
Well, thank you, Adam. It's been great to hear from you and talk to you about your job in Absolute Radio and your time in student radio. And thank you for all the advice.
No worries. And what I said is true. If you need to email anyone, people can email me, or they can email most people in Balwood. We're all a friendly bunch and we've all had to work hard to be here. We've all done what you guys have done. We've all slogged away and we all know how hard it can be to get an email back. So just drop us an email. We'll always get back to you.
Thank you, Adam, for talking to me about your radio journey and all your helpful hints and tips on getting into the radio industry and becoming a producer. Stay tuned for more student radio stories to come. Bye, everyone!